coming, it's rolling round the bend. And I ain't seen the sunshine since I don't know when. I'm stuck in Folsom Prison.
Bienvenidos a Radio Meneo. My name is Vera Valles Flores.
And I'm Miriam Soyla Perez, and we are two Latinx friends with wildly different music tastes.
Each week we bring you music from a Latina artist that we love, and this week we have a special guest to help us do a Tejano episode. Welcome, Veronique Medrano.
Hello, internet. Hello to the world. Hello.
Thank you for being here.
We are listening to Veronique's song right now. It is a cover of the Folsom Prison Blues. Let's take another listen to it, and we'll talk to you about it. Thank you so much for being here today. We decided to do this episode because we brought your music to our Yeehaw episode a few weeks ago on country and by Latinx artists. And somebody was like, please do a Tejano episode. I think Veronique would be great for it. And then you were like, they tagged her on Instagram and she was just like, bet, I'm in. And we were like, all right, let's do it.
I am so easy to get a hold of.
We love that. We love that.
If you tag me, I will see it.
So this is a cover of the very famous Johnny Cash song, and with it, some like accordion and Tejano vibes. Can you tell us what inspired you to cover this song at the moment?
So I have sung this song as part of my live sets for over 10 years. It has been a staple of my live show. And it's one of many songs that, like, over the years I've been able to fine tune. And I know, like, people always like say, Oh, hey, is that on an album? And it's happened to multiple songs. But this is definitely one of those, like, really like, hey, when is this going to be recorded and out for the public? This is one of the very small handful of songs. And I felt, especially after doing my most recent album, Mexi Americana, you know, which was a journey through, you know, my Mexican-American identity with Tex-Mex country, you know, Tejano country is another way to say it, you know, record where I'm creating a fusion of sound that I grew up with, that, you know, I grew up with my parents, you know, the bailes, Achy Breaky Heart, but in Spanish.
You know, we brought that.
Like all of that.
Yeah. We brought that to the Yeehaw episode. Yeah. I loved that one.
Oh my God. And it's like, Caballo Dorado is just, they are such icons for what they did with that music. But even more so, it's just, it's such a part of our culture, even though people don't realize it. And so the reason I decided to do it now is because I'm already entering that space. It's been so well received. And I was like, you know what? Let me bring, you know, this song that has been a part of my live show for so many years to a bigger audience. Like, you don't now just have to watch, you know, videos of it. You can enjoy it at home. And it just, for me, I love Johnny Cash. I love Freddie Fender. I love Linda Ronstadt. You know, there's certain people and musicians that I just really love. If I'm able to do a song well enough, I will happily record it and spend the money to go into the studio and do it. But yeah, it was such a choice for me because that's the direction I'm going in. You know, the music will reflect, you know, the sound.
Mm-hmm. I love that. So tell us a little bit about your musical background. I know it sounds like you grew up with some traditional sort of Mexican-American tunes, but yeah, what was your introduction to music like? How did you get into the industry?
My interaction with music is, you know, one of expression. It was a way for me to express myself at a young age that was acceptable, that didn't require too much outside of my own, you know, willpower to actually practice and get better. And through that, I was able to learn that all art takes is just a little bit of time and effort, and you can be good at it. And that was just kind of one of those things that, like, you know, you always need a gateway. My gateway was music, and it's kind of painted a brush on many things. But when I wanted to make it a career, it was so different. You know, you can love music. You can sing it in the car. You can sing it in the shower. You could sing it at a karaoke bar. But when it comes to making it a business, it's so different. And it is so much of a lifestyle change of how you view your work. I always give people the example of Kiki's Delivery Service, because that movie best explains how artists kind of go through the motions from doing something that they enjoyed just because they enjoyed it to now making money off of it and having to balance being an artist and a business person at the same time. And so, yeah, that's kind of at 18, I went and saw a Broadway show, had the opportunity to perform in New York and saw Broadway shows and had that experience because I made Allstate again, perseverance, became an Allstate vocalist, was given a trip to New York, and that changed my entire perspective. I was like, okay, I want to do this. And then life's had different plans. Until after I graduated college, like everything changed. And my career has not been one that started when I was young. My mom wouldn't let that happen. It was one that started after college. Okay. It was one that started when I was in my 20s, and it allowed me to best identify with the ever-changing adult, the ever-changing woman who is trying to be as Mexican as Mexicans and American as the Americans, and realizing that maybe it's okay to not have to do all that.
Wow, this is incredible. I'm so excited for this episode. You have some really excellent musical picks for us. So why don't we get into the first? You already mentioned this artist when we were talking. This is I Love My Rancho Grande by Freddie Fender. Let's take a listen.
Allá en el rancho grande, allá donde vivía,
ay, 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 ay. ¡Epa! ¡Dale gas, cuña!
Había una rancherita que alegre me decía, que alegre me decía. Te voy a hacer tus calzones,
ay, chaparra, como bunda,
como los que usa el ranchero. En los comienzos de lana, en los acabos de cuero, allá en el rancho grande, allá donde vivía, había una rancherita que alegre me decía, que alegre me decía. Cuando se muera mi suegra,
So, Freddie Fender, I don't think we've brought Freddie Fender into the podcast before, and I'm so excited to bring him. Why don't you tell us a little bit about why you chose the song, Veronique?
I think this is probably one of the most... this is one of those songs that has the title, and then when you listen to it, you're like, wait, what happened? Because it starts in Spanish, and then it switches between Spanish and English. It is a bilingual, Tejano-fied country song. It is one of those songs that you just can't, like, it just brings this huge smile to your face. Like, it transports you somewhere. And that's the beauty about Freddie Fender. You know, this year in 2024 will be the 50th anniversary of the album that launched his career Before the Next Teardrop Falls, you know, launched his career to an American audience. And, you know, to be able to share this with you guys is to share history, is to share the fact that bilingual music within, you know, a more Western market, Western audiences, people who primarily like to speak English, you know, this was part of a number one country album. And to kind of showcase this to you is to show you how long, you know, the fight for bilingualism has been going on. In art.
Yeah, that's right. So I think, so this song that you are mentioning, Before the Next Teardrop Falls, was a number one song, and it was in English and in Spanish and in, like, on the country charts in the 70s. And that's not something that, like, unless you know that history, like, we would guess. And I think that's just so dope. I was looking into a little bit about Freddie Fender and this song in particular, and also saw that it was, you know, it's not his original song. There's a few artists that had done that song, which is a common thing in country music. And one of the people who had covered it before was Linda Martell, who is a Black woman country singer, who had like a hit version of this song, which wasn't as big as Freddie Fender's, but we have this like idea of country music being like the like an arena for white folks, and you know, that's changing like now because Beyonce decided to do a country record, and because Beyonce
perception, is from Texas, yeah.
My guess is that she's also going to like include like the history of Tejano in her album, or at least that's my hope. But it's I'm really glad that you brought this artist for that reason, because was so big in the 70s and like singing in English and Spanish and hitting number one on the country charts.
Yeah, like that was unheard of. And I mean, you look at the album Before the Next Teardrop Falls, and then you look at the songs, and so many of his songs are considered this album that at its time, because of what it was, because of who was singing it, you know, was labeled as Tejano, made number one in country. Like, you know, there's so much to be said about all the work that you know comes with the catalog, but he has so many he has so many chart topping hits, so many different number ones. Like, the man is so awarded. He has a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Like, this man is not, you know, just nobody, but it speaks to the point of history. And if we're not telling it and we're not continuing to uplift it and celebrate it and remind people of it, what ends up happening is that history starts being warped, and we start losing a lot of voices that were part of the family tree genealogy of a sound of music, of a culture. It's just vital that we try to, you know, protect these things, to continue to celebrate them as much as we can and voice them.
Absolutely.
That's super important. One of the things we were talking about, because so Vero and I are both like Caribbean. My people are from Cuba. She's in Venezuela. So like, Mexican music, it's all kind of out of our personal like backgrounds, but obviously we've been paying attention to it as podcasters of the years. But one of the things we were kind of like speculating about when it came to like the idea of Latino country was the connection between like rural music in Mexico and like rural musical traditions in Mexico, and then rural musical traditions in the US, which I would think, even though country obviously has like ties to Nashville and cities, like it has sort of a a lot of the themes and like the culture come from like the rural, what it means to be a rural person. And I wondered if you thought that there was a connection between some of those kind of like cross-border rural traditions.
Of course, Tejano is a migrant-made, U.S.-made genre. It was made by migrants. It was made by people who had to travel, and it was a blend of German with the accordion, German Czech, and then you have Mexicans, working alongside them, and Latinos, and you have just, and then, the rural American farmer. There were so many people that, we don't talk about that weren't making all this money. They were also tilling the land and working it, because there was only so much you can do. And, you have these three different, blends of like bluegrass, zydeco, these are the musics of people of color. These are the musics of people who are working the farms, working the land, working those jobs, and trying to make a better life. And so when you think of just like the connection is simple, it's a connection of roots music. Tejano is, technically part of Mexican regional because of its roots and its sounds, and it's also part of Americana because of its roots and its sounds. And so it's that definite aspect of music that has always managed to evolve over time. In the 70s, I mean, most of the 50s going into the 70s, you have big band sounds, you have Little Joe, you have that kind of like big band that came from jazz and that those very like European Western things. Then you had it influenced again in the 80s, the sounds of the 80s. Let's just leave it at that. Imagine it happened. Then you have the 90s, which was all moving into electric instrumentation, electric. And then you're blending that with some norteño, and then you're going into this modern era. And this modern era is truly indicative of the Mexican American Latino in America, Latin or Mexican in America, whether they are born here or they're born somewhere else and migrate here. Those sounds, those fusions are so apparent in the music. So apparent.
Yeah. And I think it's so fascinating. I think that both like the rise of Mexican regional genres and pop music today, and just thinking about the influence of Tejano on country music, how much the cross border and the migration and the sort of both intense presence of the border as a legal and violent force, but also the fakeness of the border because there's so much travel and migration and influence in between. And I was thinking about border radio, right? And this song is from the 70s, which is about towards the end of border radio, I think, when regulations sort of shut it down. But border radio were radio stations that were in Mexico that were these really powerful radio stations. And they were credited with really popularizing country music because they played Black and Latino artists that were making those sounds that American radio wouldn't play. But it was through these super powerful waves that people all over Texas, for example, were definitely hearing, and all over, in the range of those radio stations. And I just, I really appreciate what you're talking about in terms of migrant music, because I think that the presence of that border is so important. And this music talks and is so indicative of both how intense and real it is, and also how fake and made up it is.
Yeah, because borders, I mean, for a lot of us that live in border towns, the border is not as violent as they make us. And I say us because it's truly affects an entire group of people. It's not what they portray us to be. And it's wild. I travel a lot of different places, and I come in with a lot of grace when I go into places that are further in country, because what do they know outside of what they see on TV? How am I going to judge somebody based off of what they see? Yes, you could say, oh, they could curate themselves, but look at the volume of social media that's out there. So I come in with a lot of grace when someone asks me, hey, big eyes. They come with big eyes whispering, "Hey, is it as bad as it looks on the TV? Are you guys okay over there?" And I'm like, And I come in with a lot of grace because they're genuinely wondering if it's true. Like, they already have a question in their mind that it's not real, but they also don't want to look stupid. And so because of that, I'm like, no, like, there's nothing like that. Like, nothing of what is portrayed is what is happening. Every city has a bad city. Every place has a bad place you shouldn't go because of XYZ. Like, you shouldn't be caught there if you don't got no good business there. Like, literally, every place has that. Why is it that our border towns are vilified in this way? And so my biggest goal, and I know the goal of many, you know, Mexican artists and Latino artists, is to just show the variety and joy in our art and in our culture, and not just what's portrayed, not just the sepia tones and the places and things that may or may not exist or don't exist in the same way that's being judged up. And so I always, you know, I challenge people, you know, just kind of give a lot of grace to, you know, southern states and states with a lot of Latino influx, because you do not know what our day-to-day life is like, and it is not as you know, third world-ish as, you know, it's put out to be. You know, we live, we work, we breathe, we exist there. There's beauty there. There's a lot of joy there.
Yeah, and I think this next song that you suggested that we bring, I feel like is probably one of the most, like, one of the biggest, arguably, like, Tejano exports in terms of, like, people across sort of cultures know of her, and also so much joy, although obviously there's a lot of tragedy in her story as well. So let's take a listen to Selena's Amor Prohibido. Obviously, we love the song. We've definitely brought it to the show before, also for, like, the queer sort of, like, adoption of this song and its themes.
Oh my God, yes. That was, I was hoping somebody was going to say something about that. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
There's such an alignment there.
Okay, continue.
So what made you bring Selena? I mean, obviously, she's such an icon, but what is it about this song and this artist?
You know, I brought her on here because, you know, you can't have a conversation about Tejano without having a conversation about the other bilingual icon. Like, you, like, the icons of South Texas are two, Freddie Fender and Selena. They were cross boundaries, cross cultures. They are the same Tejano coin, just two different sides. So when you look at Selena, you're looking at R&B, you're looking at pop, you're looking at that, like, you know, vein of what cumbia would be, what Tejano cumbia would become, what Tejano in general could become, could have been. There's a reason I say that. And then, you know, you have the other side of it, of Freddie Fender, where, you know, he was country to the Americana, to the, like, the Tejano to the Americana, to the country listener, to the people that worked, that were migrants, that like, it's, that's what I'm trying to say. Like, there's two different sides to these people. And that is definitely one of the biggest reasons. You can't talk about one without the other. They're so vital to the conversation of Mexican Americans from South Texas going global.
Where in South Texas did you grow up?
So I born, raised, still currently live, even though I'm traveling everywhere, in Brownsville, Texas.
Oh, Brownsville. We've actually both been to Brownsville.
And if you don't, if the listeners do not know where that's at, look at Texas, go all the way down to the bottom, and then go a little further. We call it the boot tip of Texas, and by we I mean me.
Vero and I actually met doing organizing work with a national Latina reproductive justice organization, and they have a strong presence in the Rio Grande Valley, and so we both got to spend some time there with like women who were, you know, health promoters in the colonias and in different parts of the RGV. So we both like have some tenderness for that part of the country, and definitely understand all the ways in which it's misunderstood, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So I, one of the interesting things about doing the country episode was, and seeing your music, like I had never thought about Tex-Mex as a musical label. I think of it as a food label. Is that,
I get that a lot.
Tell us more about that. Yeah. Tell us more about that. Like, is that something that's been used for a while? Like, where does that, that musical.
Freddie Fender
kind of
used it.
Okay.
Freddie Fender used it in the '70s. I do understand the differentiation with a lot of people on the label. So what I would like to implore y'all is just think of it as code switching. So when we're talking with Anglo audiences, they hear Tex-Mex and they go, Selena, Freddie.
Yes.
Like they already sonically,
they understand it.
They understand it. When I talk with, you know, my fellow melanated people, I say Tejano country, because they understand what I mean. And so that is the biggest reason for the label. I understand it's a little like, oh, it's food, it's this, it's that. But when you think of it as a whole, it is kind of really the best word to help people understand that you are American, you are Mexican, and your sound is a mixture of that kind of culture. And so that's what I would implore everybody when they hear that is just, if it's not referring to food, it is a code switch. It's us being able to better communicate what this sound is without unfortunately boxing ourselves up in Latin music only programming and pitching.
Yeah.
And things like that. So like, there's a lot of limiters that are put on music, unfortunately, the moment you put Latin in front of it, or like any kind of identifier that is based on, you know, just what you're labeled as.
Right.
As a person.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. That makes a lot of sense. And I mean, it's fascinating because Tex-Mex, like you immediately think of like, also like Tex-Mex is American, which is an interesting way to put it, you know? Like, I think that when, like, it's, Tex-Mex does not happen without, like, Mexican migration. It doesn't happen without also, like, being in the United States, right? Like, it's so very of, like, this place. So I sort of love that. And we do talk on our show about, like, even how, like, Latin is such an odd label. Like, are you telling me that, like, salsa and, like, Tejano and, like, tango all are the same kind of music? Like, that's like absurd, right? Like, so that's like, it's not even mention like the different kinds of like social and cultural traditions that, like, you know, like Mexico versus Puerto Rico versus like Argentina might have.
It's the attempt to homogenize us. It is the attempt to homogenize a group of people that are so necio. Continuing their nastiness, but they are so necio in trying to just say, please, you know, I don't know if you guys remember that sound from the V8 commercials where they go pop, like right on the head. And it's like, drink a V8. Like, It's us as a collective going, y'all, we are not, you cannot paint us all with a brush. I'm sorry that, you know, we're not like XYZ Midwesterner that you can easily contain and define in a box that you believe. You know, we are different shades, different shapes, different cultures, different cultural touchstones. You know, my cultural touchstone of, my God, Juan Gabriel could be, you know, Luis Miguel to someone else. You want to know what the difference in those fans is? A lot.
Yeah.
A lot. Like, there's, like, it seems so petty and so simple, and it should be simple. It should be simple. But it's like, bro, some people grew up with, you know, those family parties in the middle of the night, a wedding that goes till like 5 in the morning. Then you're like an hour nap. Then you wake up, menudo. There's some that. And then there's other people that have completely other different traditions within the Latino community, the Latino and Mexican community, like New Year's, like Christmas. Look at your major touchstones. Everybody celebrates it different. You should know better. Stop homogenizing us. Mm-hmm. Stop it. Bad. Eat a V8 or whatever.
That's fair. Yeah. I mean, I think that's one of the things we've tried to make clear on this show, that like in the same episode, we can have wildly different music, because the only definition for us is that it's by a Latino person, like someone from Latin America with Latin American heritage. And so the music itself can sound so different because there's not homogeneity. And there is this sort of like attempt to talk about the Latino experience in the US, which, is still wildly different. But there is a lot of uniqueness to what that experience is like across groups because of the sort of shared diaspora, or like, you know, shared migration. But you're right. There's not a lot of homogeneity at all.
I never thought about it till you just like said it right now, and it turned on a light bulb, is that, you know, shared migration, shared life, you know, experiences, you know, we all have to celebrate a birthday. We all have to mourn a broken heart. These are the things and the ties that bind within how music allows us to tell a story. So, you know, you look at Amor Prohibido, and it is a song that has stood the test of time because it speaks to an experience that is so relatable across every single person. You look at, I love my Rancho Grande, and it relates to, you know, the joys of ownership, of owning something that's yours, and you know, working so hard that you have the thing that you dreamed of. You know, these things are touchstones in people's lives, and music is the key to memories, and, you know, memories are the key to life. You're living if you're making memories.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
I love that. All right. So we wanted to pause for a moment to remember that it is our birthday month.
Actually, today we're recording it. It's actually our birthday today.
I know. It's really wild. It's super dope. We've been doing this for 8 years. And if you've been listening for, you don't have to have been listening for the whole 8 years, but if you've been listening to us for a little bit, you'll know that usually on our birthday, we do a little birthday campaign.
Yeah, and thank you so much to the folks who've already supported us. We really appreciate you. But we're asking people to consider either becoming a member, which is a monthly subscription, $5, $10, $15 a month, depending on what you can afford. And if you become a member, you get a free member segment, an extra segment on every episode. On this one, Veronique talked about another song from her album that was really great conversation. And you also get ad-free episodes, so you would never have to hear us doing these kinds of ads. And also our love and support for helping to make this show possible. And if monthly is not doable for you, we totally understand. We also welcome one-time gifts via Venmo and PayPal. All the information is in the show notes. Vero, do you want to tell them about the gift we're doing this month?
Yeah, so if you become a member, or if you give us a donation on Venmo, even just a one-time donation of 20 or above, then we'll reach out to you so you can get any piece of merch from our merch store that you want. We've got a few things in there, and you can just take your pick, and you can have it as a token of our appreciation.
Thank you so much for considering supporting us. It makes this show possible, covers our costs, helps us pay Maite for the editing help. So thank you so much. Happy birthday to us.
Thanks the world. Thank you.
Okay, so we're going to move on to the third song that you brought for us. It's called Cumbia Anthem, and it's by El Dusty featuring Happy Colors. Let's take a listen. Tell us about this one. This is a new artist for us as well.
El Dusty is one of the people within Tejano music who has managed to elevate and evolve the music to a more modern audience. He got nominated for a Latin Grammy on this particular song. He is a producer on more than one song of mine that I have out currently, as well as a co-producer on my album Mexi Americana. And mind you, I've known him for quite some time because we work the entertainment circuit. So just FYI,
the business is a lot smaller than you think. The entertainment business as a whole is a lot smaller than you think.
It sure is.
We all know each other, and I had been performing for some time. He had listened to a lot of my music, but I remember him during my sophomore year of college with this record. So wow. I did not work with him till after college. Remember that? Remember how I didn't make any music
until
after college? So I was listening to him and was just so shocked, enamored, and, you know, around 2011, 2012 when I heard him. And just how much, you know, and he made a record. And then it was just so crazy to see this just new, fresh take on cumbia, Tejano music. And just how, like, I was like, okay, if he's doing it and, you know, Selena has this kind of sound, what can I do in the space? And that's when, you know, after I left, I made a song very much, you know, inspired by what I heard Dusty doing, called Tejano Jam. It was off my first album, and that was the first song in Spanish I'd ever written and recorded. And it was, you know, an electro cumbia song. And from that point on, you know, I continued to write and stuff, and just Dusty as a, or El Dusty as a whole, is one of the people that I believe is ushering in that newer sound, is what the modern era looks like in Tejano. And a lot of people who kind of are bringing in this very clear idea of their American, you know, touch points with their Mexican touch points. And, you know, you're listening to somebody who is like a mix of like Daft Punk and, you know, all like Darude and all of these different electronic, you know, DJs and creators, you know, Eiffel 65, like you think of that. And then you think of, you know, the Tejano music, and you see those come together in such an astounding and beautiful way with Dusty. And I definitely credit him with the modernity of current Tejano music that sounds like its counterparts in pop and R&B and so on. Definitely. Like there's no doubt about it in my mind.
I love that journey that you've taken us on through the icons and to the people now, you know, some of your peers who are making making the future of Tejano music. The next song that I wanted to bring is actually from that your Mexi Americana album. So let's take a listen to Hay Otro en Tu Lugar.
Recuerda que tú te marchaste y al despedirte, sin importarte que lloraba, te sonreíste. Pero de amor nadie se muere, siempre decías. Y ahora tú me dices que te mueres, que me extrañas, que en verdad. Hay otro amor en tu lugar, hay otro 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 en tu lugar. Es que el amor se acaba, tú me lo decías, sin importarte nada, todo mi dolor. Pero como en la vida hasta la suerte cambia, lo que tú me decías te lo digo yo. Es que
tell us more about this album. I know it's your album from 2023. It sounds like you've partnered with Dusty, who's the producer on the album. But yeah, I'd love to hear more about this particular song. I think it has a cumbia vibe to it, and then about the album generally.
So Mexi Americana was definitely an a love letter to my upbringing, my life, my journey through love and heartbreak and joy and all of it. I co-produced this with Dusty and Mariano Herrera, who is a really well-known Tejano producer. And the idea was, are you going to make another Tejano record? And I said, no, I'm going to make a Tex-Mex country record. And they just looked at me like, what in the hell are you saying? Because I had just released a song called Mal Ojo with them that was an electric cumbia with rap and you know, just very a la, you know, everything that Dusty has done on his own and with Cumbia Kings and with DJ Kane, you know, some big names. And then I go to this record, and this song in particular, along with Wasted Days, are both a slight tip of the hat to some Mexican American icons, you know, Vicky Carr. Hay Otro Tu Lugar is a song by Vicky Carr. She is from El Paso. She did music in country and Tejano and Mexican regional and super famous woman. But this was a song I was like, my God, you know, that I can do something with this. I can make it playful. I can make it, you know, something else. And that's what I did. And then we have, you know, Wasted Days, which is my version of the Freddie Fender song. And, you know, you have those two in there as touch points, and then you have all the original music that goes from English to Spanish to, you know, everything else.
The song that I brought to the Que Hueva, to the Yeehaw episode was your song Que Hueva. That's also from this album. Is that one of your originals? Yeah. I imagine.
So
Que Hueva, I wrote, I'm not even playing. I know people are like, what? They don't believe me when I tell them. And it's always so wild when most of my songs are written in the comfort of my house or in the car. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So this one in particular, I wrote. So the whole thing with Roe v. Wade was happening. I saw it on the news. I was pissed off, turned off the TV.
Yeah,
I was pissed. And I go over to the sink. I'm about to make lunch and I see a sink full of dishes and I'm like,
que hueva. Que hueva. And I was just like, and then I'm there washing these dishes, you know, going, and
I start humming, like it just pops in, like the sound of the water. I'm washing these dishes angrily. All of these things are going on. I feel like, where are the men to clean the dishes? Where is where? Yeah. Why must I be a woman?
Like, I just want to sit and be pampered and drink a beer. I want
everything that men get to do. Why must I do this shit?
And sure enough, why must I do these things?
Yeah.
So literally the whole song came out by the time I finished washing the dishes. And I was like, oh my God. Like I pressed record on my phone and I just started recording it. And I'm like, okay, I need to write it down. Okay. I need to, like, as soon as it was done, it felt like a fugue state. It came out, it happened. And then I was like, immediately That's trying incredible. To
channel it.
Channeling it. And it was great.
Lifetime of anger, of shit that women have to go through. Like, generations of anger came out through the song.
Yes. 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 Yeah,
it's a great song. We really enjoyed it. For sure. For sure. Okay, I want to ask you about the cover of this album. It has some really beautiful art on it. Can you talk a little bit about that?
I would love to I have a question for you, actually.
Yeah. Tell me.
In terms of tabled. Yeah. So, when you see this artwork, what's the first thing that comes to mind for you?
Frida Kahlo.
Frida Kahlo.
There we go. Yeah. So this is the reason I asked this is because that was the point.
Throughout the making of this record, I was in and out of the hospital dealing with extreme amounts of chronic pain. I had gotten into a really bad car accident, and my car was the middle car, and I got squished. And I was dealing with chronic pain. I was dealing with going in and out of the hospital for different surgeries, different things. My body was my enemy. And most of the music, like I said, it was me having a pandemic and then some of things to like sift through and figure out and not knowing how my next day, my next month would look health-wise and my own life. It was daunting. And so that I kind of threw myself into trying to understand my chronic pain and how that related to my life and the life of my past and the life of my future. And then it's like Frida came to me. And I was like, you know, around the time I was going through extreme amounts of romantic pain, I threw myself into like, you know, sometimes loneliness happens, but the art stays and the art lives and the art can inspire. And I was kind of like pouring through stuff about Frida and my own personal, you know, just like journey through understanding. And realizing she suffered from chronic pain and how she, you know, still made beautiful work and just how she thought, how she lived. It allowed for just a lot of like deep foundational strength. Because it's not talked about enough how much chronic pain can affect how the art is made, decisions that you make, things that you do. And we're getting, you know, we're supposed to go on the first, you know, studio recording for this record, and I'm in the hospital.
Wow.
And then a week later, like 2 days after being in the hospital, I get out and I am in the studio. Wow. I was so determined that whatever happened, I needed to be alive long enough to put this out. And so that artwork was definitely like kind of really embracing the duality of being me, the duality of being a woman, the duality of being Mexican and American, those two sides, you know, the the wifeable woman, the party animal, the one who still is allowed to not just be like prim, proper, and all placed together alongside the vibrant artist, just those two things. Then you have the astrology of it all. You know, I have, you know, different astrological signs in the sky. They represent my two moms. You know, they've been partners for 40 years
and most of my life,
like that, I just known that this was my life and being able to represent them in the night sky as two different aspects of me. It's like, this is what all of that artwork, there's so much layering in it, but it was to represent so much in such a visual way. And so Frida was the core, in a sense, of that, the way I interpreted her artwork and how it helped me and how it saved me, how it made me want to continue to be an artist and figure out a way through the chronic pain and figure out a way to live with it, that was healthy for me. And it was through art. It was through making the work.
Wow. Thank you for sharing that. Okay. I have one question for you before we go to our member segment. And this is because I have I have a soft spot for Latino Christmas music. And I saw that you put out a song back in 2015, I think, about Christmas. And then I saw the Los Peces en el Rio. So I just have to ask you about your Christmas music.
There will be more.
Yeah.
Oh, my mom has already, my mom demands it. My mom has demanded.
I love it.
She has allowed me.
A request for a burrito sabanero, because that's one of my favorites.
I'm laughing because there's a whole YouTube, there's videos on multiple platforms of me dressed as a whole piñata burro dancing around my living room.
Oh my God. We've got the cover art figured out.
There you go.
Burrito sabanero cover for the Tejano burrito
sabanero. Oh my God. And I'm just like this.
That's like, so cute. I'm,
you know what it's going to be? It's going to be like the left shark of it all, but with a piñata.
Incredible.
It was said here first. And so, like, I'm sorry. Yes, there will be more. I have already told production Burrito Sabanero is next.
Nice.
But with the Christmas music of it all, oh my God, I love Halloween and I love Christmas. I'm trying to figure out how to make a Halloween cumbia or cumbia.
Oh my God.
Let me preface it now because I have not done it.
Please do. Because every year we have a Halloween episode also, and we're always trying to find music that we can consider Halloween themes. So yeah, that would be perfect. Yeah. We'd love to feature that.
I can hear like a spooky cumbia.
Yeah.
Hello.
I've said it. It's going to happen. I still have a lot of time before October.
You do.
We love to hear it.
But I love Halloween. I love Christmas. I am a Night Before Christmas girl. That's all I got to say. That's why you should. And I'm a theater girly. So like, come on. You can't have all of those and not do Christmas music. You just can't. You cannot call yourself a theater nerd if you do not like one Christmas song. It can even be the Grinch. I don't care.
I love that.
We're excited. We'll make sure to keep track of it and get to the show when we have it in our hands.
Yeah. I love the duality of Que Hueva and then Christmas music. It's just beautiful, you know? It's beautiful. We're complex beings, you know?
We are. That was the thing, is like, I mean, there's a pseudo country rock song in Spanish on the record, on Mexi Americana, called Que Suerte Tienes. You know, very inspired by Shakira and Carrie Underwood and the women who speak, Paquita del Barrio, the women who speak to the stupid men. And you know, there's that in me. There's two wolves inside of me, sometimes three. And so it all depends on which I feed, but yeah, it's just
all right.
To have that duality for sure. It's a part of it all, you know, the part of being a person and loving what you love.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. This has been such a delightful conversation. really appreciate like getting brought through this Tejano sort of music landscape and to get to know you and your work some more. We'll make sure to put all the info about where folks can follow you in our show notes so that they can stay up with your music and what you have coming up next.
Yes, and thank you. Thank you, everybody, for an amazing show. Continue to listen to Tejano music. And as always, puro amor, puro besos, mwah, puro Tex-Mex.
Gracias, y'all.
Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you all so much for listening. Everything, as always, that you heard today is going to be on our show notes.
Make sure you're following us on Instagram and Twitter. We also have a newsletter every Friday, so check that out. The link is in our show notes to sign up for that.
And thanks, as always, to Maite for the editing help.
We'll see y'all next week.
Bye.